I wonder, as Tom read those verses to us, whether you're good at picturing in your mind what was actually taking place on that day. We sing a song, don't we? There is a green hill far away without a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. And sometimes you might get that picture of how nice it might have been. But really, it was a place of death, the place of destruction, where people were taken and their lives were finished. And they would die. But it would destroy families. It would destroy relationships. But you know, if we look at that scene and we focus on the center cross, we can think of it as a type or a place of love, a place of life, a place of liberty. Because the Lord Jesus came and he said, I have come that they might have life and have it in all its fullness. And that offer of salvation is open to all, though not all receive it. And what I would like to do is just spend a few moments as we think of the cross and the people that were around at that time. So as it was read to us, we find that there was the right in the centre. And though the Lord Jesus uttered quite a few, seven I believe, sayings from the cross, the one that is mentioned here in Luke 23 is, Father, forgive. And that forgiveness is for everyone, whoever they are, whatever they've been, whatever they've done. But the people in the vicinity of the cross would not kind of grasp at what Jesus was saying at that time. Because we read that people stood watching. There were people there who watched what was going on. Quite gruesome, if you were to ask me, just to be. But to me, it speaks of, in a way, insensitivity, couldn't care less. Well, I'm just here to watch and see what goes on. So that's one group of people that were around the cross. But then there was another group, the rulers. It says they sneered and made fun of him. If you are who you say you are, come down off the cross. They sneered. They made fun. But then the soldiers walked past and they mocked him. They mocked the person that was there on that centre cross. One criminal, he insulted. If you are the Son of God, save yourself and us while you're at it. But there was one man there, the other thief. And he said, don't you fear God. We're getting punished for what we've done wrong. We're criminals. We deserve to be here. But this man on the cross, he's done nothing wrong. Lord, he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today, this instant when you die, you will be with me in paradise. What was the difference between the two thieves? One thief, I don't want to be here. But I don't want to do anything about myself or getting off here, but I want God to help me to get off here. But the other thief, he realized he was a sinner. He realized he could not get to heaven in the state that he was. He realized he could not have a relationship. He needed to say sorry for the wrong things that he had done. And then he received, at that instance, that eternal life that Jesus offered. He couldn't do anything to earn it. He couldn't work. He couldn't pay. He just received it. And Jesus said today, the assurance of that promise, the assurance of that power to receive and believe. That happened over 2,500 years ago. But the effects of Jesus dying on the cross are relevant to us today, that we need to receive it and believe it for ourselves. So if we can, in a way, transform ourselves to present day, where we are now, and review again the people that were round the cross. You see, the Lord Jesus is not on the cross anymore. He's not in the tomb anymore. He's ascended to his Father's right hand, where he receives the honour and the glory and the praise that's due to his name because of the cross, because of his death, because of his resurrection. But it has an effect on people in the world today. So if we can backtrack to those people that Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive. That forgiveness, because of the cross, is available to all. But people stand by and they watch because their life is comfortable. They're making it on their own. Yes, they know about Jesus. Yes, they know about God, but I've got it all together. I don't mind people talking about him. I don't want, but don't let it affect me. I'm quite happy to make it on my own. But you only have to watch television a little these days to find that people make fun of the Lord Jesus. Make fun of his name. Make fun of what he did. Ridicule. And I was talking to Brian just the other day. And I think Anne Widdecombe was on some quiz panel or something. And they were taking the mickey out of her because she was a Christian. And then they started to say things about the Lord. I said, hang on. You can take the fun out of me if you want to, but don't make fun of my Lord. Because if you do, I'm going. She made a stand for what she believed. There are people out there who ridicule and make fun of the person of the Lord Jesus. Then there are those that mock. Those that make fun. Those that ridicule. But then there are those who want a relationship with God if everything is okay. I'll trust you, God, if you do this for me. I'll trust you, God, if you do that for me. If God is God, why are all these bad things happening in the world? God can't be God if you let this happen to you. I'm sorry, but if you read the scriptures, Jesus says, in this world you'll have trouble. So if you want to follow me, expect trouble. If you want to be a Christian, if you want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus, expect trouble. Because it will come. Because there is a fight going on in the world and in our society today where we try to keep suppressing God. We don't want God. We can make it on our own. We're clever enough. And they mock God. They make fun of God. But it's surprising, isn't it, how many people, when situations turn against them, they pray. They ask God to help. But where is giving thanks to God in the good times? When things, oh no, I've done it on my own. But when it goes wrong, it's God's fault. Why didn't God stop it? Please don't ask me to answer the question. I can't answer the question why bad things happen in the world. And I know it's because we're in a sinful world, but God could stop it, but he doesn't. Because he allows us choices to make. So there was a selfish criminal. God, you come down off that cross. Jesus, you come down off that cross and save yourself while you're at it. And there are people who want a comfortable Christian life, who want everything laid on a table. It's what the thief wanted. But how does that affect you and I? How does it affect you, me, in a relationship each day? We have to realize, though John 3:16, for God so loved the world, God loved each of us as individuals. If you were the only person in the world, I don't know whether you ever tried this before, but I was at a camp one time, and I think Bob Telford's leading. There's about 30 of us leaders there. And he said, we're going to pray. So, well, I've prayed before. He said, yeah, we're all going to pray at the same time. Now, you imagine being in a hubble of 30 people all praying at the same time, but our God can listen to each prayer. How he does it, I don't know. But he says he does it. So when you pray, God knows, right, what you're praying before you answer. So we need to realize, if we don't already, that Jesus died for us as an individual. That he gave his life a ransom for many. But we need to respond for that, to that, for ourselves. I can't do it for you, you can't do it for me, you can't do it for your neighbor. We need to respond to it, to ourselves. That thief on the cross, he said, remember me. And my friend, no, he didn't. He said, remember me. It is a personal thing. So we need to realize it. We need to respond to it. But then we need to repent. We need to say sorry to God for the wrong things that we've done. I've been a Christian now for probably 50 years. I don't look 65, do I? No, I'm not. I'm 66. But what I'm trying to say is that it's not a, yes, I take Jesus as my Saviour and I repent for my sin. Because life is life and I do things wrong. So I have to say sorry again. But God doesn't get... I mean, I remember when I was growing up, my mum used to say, how many more times have I got to tell you? But God doesn't say that. God is gracious. God is compassionate. And he's more willing to forgive than we are to be forgiven. And I think it's brilliant when he said on the cross, to those people that take in his garments, to those people that had put the nails in him, those people that had tried and unjustly hanging him there on the cross, he said, Father, forgive. And it wasn't a blanket forgiveness. It was a forgiveness that needed to be responded to. But in that forgiveness that we receive, we have to show that forgiveness to others too. Because what we want for ourselves, the Bible says, we should share that with others. And I read, if you read the Lord's Prayer, at the bottom of that, it says, Father, forgive us as we forgive them who trespass sin against us. But then Jesus adds at the bottom, if you do not forgive, then you aren't forgiven or can't be forgiven. So it's reciprocal. We forgive, God forgives us, so we forgive others. And it's not easy, I know. But God gives us the grace to show that forgiveness that he shows to us. So we repent and then we receive the Lord Jesus as our Saviour for ourselves. When preparing this, there's some songs, and please don't think I'll get my theology from my songs, but sometimes it puts words into my mind that are better than I can say. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. So that instant, when we recognise and realise that we can't make it on our own, Jesus comes and lives within us. And it's not a once for all, I've done it, that's it. Yes, you've done it, but then you have to live it, you have to walk it. Jesus says, I will come and I will make my abode, my home, I will come and live in you. Because as a young Christian, I tried to live the Christian life. People used to say, Terry, you're a good lad, you don't do anything wrong. Well, they didn't really know me, but I knew what I did wrong. And you try to live the Christian life, but you can't. It's only Christ who can live the Christian life. But he says he will come and live in us and help us to do it. And when he does that, that's when the battle starts. That's when the fight starts. Because if you're quite content to go your own way and do your own thing, then Satan is quite happy to leave you alone. But once you say, I want to follow Jesus, I believe he died for me, I want to forgive my sin and I want to walk with him, then be prepared for a fight. But the battle has already been won because he's got the victory and he wants us to share in that victory. Maybe we say, I don't deserve it. Well, none of us do. It's all of God's grace. He wants to give that gift to all who receive. I like Psalm 103 verse 10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Because if he did, none of us would stand a chance. But he is a gracious, compassionate God. I love the story in Jonah. When Jonah says, oh, I'm not going to Nineveh. Why? Because I know you are gracious and compassionate. But let's not make that an excuse of not following Jesus. Let's not make it an excuse for not getting involved. Because God is gracious and compassionate. He is holy. He is just. And he wants to come and live in us. And he wants to walk with us. We live in a world where people are about their rights. I want my right for this and the right for that and human rights and these rights and all the other kind of rights. I want to tell you about a right today that God wants to give you. And it's open for all. John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says these words. To all who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become a child of God. And there's nothing better, nothing more wonderful than being a child of a God who loves you, a God who cares for you, sent his son to die for you, is preparing a place for you. But we need to receive it. We need to respond to it for ourselves. I met a lady outside our church just the other week. And I said, are you coming into church? No, God loves. Oh yeah, I know God loves. Well, God loves then. He loves me, and when I finish this life, I'll go to heaven. No, it's not like that. If that's the case, why did Jesus die? Why did he have to go through the awfulness of the cross if in the end everybody's going to go to heaven? We need to personally respond to the invitation that Jesus gives to all who received him. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become a child of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or husband's will, but born of God. And when we are reborn to know the love and the power and the life of Jesus in our lives, it makes a difference. And I did have some more peas down here, but I've lost them, so it doesn't matter. The power to live the Christian life comes from God. It is personal, so it's for you. But there is a promise that he says he will be with us. And how can I explain this? We accept and receive and believe, then it's a continual walk, not a once-off thing. Yes, we are saved, but we need to build that relationship with the God by meeting together like this, by reading the word, by talking to God. But what does God want us to do in response to that? He wants us to say thank you. And thank you seems an inadequate expression of what he has done and what it can mean for us. But our closing song is thank you for saving me. What can I say? You took my sin away. But we need to believe that for ourselves. We need to believe it and receive it. Could we sing that song? I don't know what number it is. 115. Sorry? 1015. 1015. See, my hearing's going as well. 1015. So if what I've said this morning resonates with you, maybe you've just been standing watching. You've heard about Jesus dying on the cross, never done anything about it. Maybe before you've thought about it and not done anything. Maybe when you've heard people saying, you know, things against the Lord Jesus, we've kept our mouths shut and not said anything. Well, sometimes we don't know what to say. But he, the Lord, if he's living in us, give us the words to say. Thank you for saving me. What can I say?